This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Jacob Felder is a man of many, many talents. He's a professional dancer, yoga and meditation instructor, circus-style acrobatic balancing artist, and a professional mime. Jacob began mesmerizing audiences as a traditional mime back in 1993. How did you specifically get into miming? When did that begin?
When I was a kid, the black and white television, Red Skelton, my parents would send me to bed, and I would kind of like sneak around the corner and watch. And, you know, Red Skelton did a lot of miming, and he had Marcel Marceau, you know, as a guest quite often. So I just vaguely remember that, and I just vaguely remember seeing clips of old Charlie Chaplin movies and stuff like that. But for some reason, I was always drawn to mime, and when I was living in Asheville and I was in my 30s, I remember I was, you know, teaching dance and yoga and all that good stuff. For some reason, I saw this striped shirt. It was actually in the ladies' department, but, you know, the shoe fits, wear it. And I just bought the shirt for no apparent reason. And then I was at a friend's store, and they had a little derby hat. So, you know, next thing I know, you know, I'm like collecting these pieces, but I have no place to perform except my daughter's birthday parties.
Nice.
So I would show up, and every year in mind of my daughter's birthday parties. And then when I moved back to Winston, my daughter was doing a living doll, kind of like the living statue, in Asheville for tips and all, you know, street performing. And she asked me, I think it was on her birthday, she said, "Dad, do you still have your old mime outfit?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah. Why don't you put your old mime outfit on and join me?" So I did. And then that's where it all kicked off again for the professional mime came shortly after that.
What's the best part of being a mime? What keeps you enthralled with this art so many years in?
Making people happy. As I got into it and as I saw, you know, how people responded, people were happy. And I was happy to make them happy. But then I would feel a little sad. And it wasn't so much after the party sadness. It was just a sadness, you know. And I realized that people just respond to someone acting so happy to see them, whether they know them or not. In most cases, I don't know any of the people, or very many of them, according to where I'm miming. And for that person to just act so happy to see them and have such, you know, big gestures for waving at them or pointing at them with a big smile and getting them involved in a picture taking where I, you know, put a little derby hat, little miniature derby hat on them or whatever. So it was kind of like, wow, you know, we all need to be nicer to each other. We all need to be happier to see each other than we really are. We should really be happy to see the people we see, whether they're friends, family, or strangers. And, you know, when we make their day, it makes our day. Just if people just treated each other better, you know, that happiness could be there a lot more of the time. Maybe not all the time, but a lot more of the time.
So when you were feeling sad, it was just the realization,
yeah,
how seldom that happens, that we don't treat each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just people just need to be happy to be people and to see people and just do what we can to make somebody else's day a little bit better place. Like the old saying goes, some of the most selfish people in the world are the most selfless ones, because the more they give of themselves and help others, the better they feel. You know?
Is there a specific aspect of miming, the process, the preparation, the act itself, the improvisational element that you look forward to every time, or is it change?
Well, the spontaneity, for sure.
Could you give me an example, Jacob, of something where it just came up in the crowd or when you're out in the street that you turn into something funny, that just on the spot?
I don't know why this one comes to mind, but there was a girl, she had an ice cream cone, and she was there with her mom. I think her mom was looking at some jewelry or something. And I started staring at the ice cream cone, you know, and look, well, you're like, I really want the ice cream cone. And I took a step forward, and she started chuckling. And then, you know, she chuckled a little more, and her mom kind of looked at the, you know, daughter, and the daughter pointed at me. So when the mom looked at me, I straightened up and I pointed at the person next to me, you know, and they both just burst out laughing, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Not me, them, you know. Down on Trade Street, Miami, one time, running around, just having fun, happy-go-lucky, you know, and just being silly, and as I do, it's part of my character. And this really big guy in fatigues walked up to me, and he said, you know, he was very polite. He said, can I tell you something, sir? And I looked at him and, you know, nodded my head, and he said, I'm getting ready to deploy for my third tour of duty. And all of a sudden, you know, my face went kind of blank. My mouth dropped open. All of a sudden, I felt like about 2 or 3 inches tall, you know, just, you know, this. I'm running around happy-go-lucky, just having fun and all, and not a serious bone in my body, and this guy's getting ready to deploy for third tour of duty in Iraq. And then he said, keep doing what you're doing, sir. You know, make people happy, make them laugh. And I was speechless. I mean, I was in mime anyway. I couldn't say anything, but even if I could, I just didn't know how to respond. And I just made eye contact with him and kind of nodded my head. And later that day, I found him again. I mean, like, I went out to find him, and I found him. I was like motioning him over to the side, and I took my hat off, and I told him it's legal to talk without my hat on. And then I told him thank you for what he told me, you know, and encouraging me, and also thanking him for his, you know, his service to the armed forces, and, you know, wished him luck on getting there and getting back, you know.
What a powerful experience.
Yeah, and that really, you know, it was a huge validation.
Yeah, I mean, way to confirm that you're on the right track. Yeah, I mean, people need that sort of optimism, and all of us do, whether you're getting ready to be sent off to horrible situations, I mean, or you're happy to begin with, and it makes you more happy.
Yeah.
It's nice to do something that there's no downside on that one. nobody gets hurt.
Would you stop making people happy?
Yeah, that's it. Get out of here. You're making me too happy. That must be fun. You're improvising. You're out there. You've got to come up with something fast. And never the same job twice.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, if I draw a blank, I just run away.
End of act one.
And I run funny, you know? Yeah. Sling one leg out to the side, whatever it takes.
Yeah, I should try that. It wouldn't work on radio, though. Professional mime artist Jacob Felder. Over the past 12 years, his repertoire has expanded to include robotic living statues and stilt-walking fringe clowns as well. You can catch Jacob the Living Statue this fall during Raffaldini Vineyards Fiesta Italia, the third Saturday in September. You can see video of Jacob in action on our website, wfdd.org. Just click on Triad Arts Weekend. And you can follow Jacob Felder on Facebook. I'm David Ford. Time for another short break from the action. We'll return about 60 seconds from now with Eddie Garcia's interview with Must Be the Holy Ghost. It must be Triad Arts Weekend, so stick around.